The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokats, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, December 16th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Hey, did you catch any football this weekend? Were there any good games? Ha ha! Let's hear it from my Green Bay Packers. There's still hope. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Thrasher Sports, 8 o'clock Tuesday nights. Me and Herb Thrasher go over all the sports, and my God, this NFL weekend, plenty for me to want to talk about. But for today, we are on Christmas week here for the Russ Belville Show. I know it's the week before Christmas, but Christmas week and the week after, the New Year's week, we take off here at the Russ Belville Show. That's right, 2 week vacation here. I know. I could already hear you guys going into Russ Belville Show withdrawals. It's okay. We'll be back in January with a whole bunch of new shows here on the 420 radio lineup and some new segments debuting here on the Russ Belville Show. So plenty of great changes coming up. Those 2 weeks will give us a chance to fix some server issues, get some new things programmed, and make this a better experience for everyone involved. So thanks for supporting us. Thanks for sticking with us. But for this week, we've got our look at the best of 2013. In the rant today, radical rant segment at the end of the show, I'm going to go over the best in stupid for 2013, the stupid stoner stories, stupid prohibition stories I've covered over the past year that offer us the best lessons as a cannabis community on how not to get ourselves busted. Also, of course, it's Monday, so we're going to be visiting with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our Cannabis Q&A segment. Get your questions ready. You can ask him in our live chat room, or you can call us on our phone line, 971-533-7111. There's a study up on Fox News about how pot rots kids' brains. We'll ask him about that and your questions when we get to that at half past the hour. Also on today's show, it's Daily Toker Tunes for Roots Monday, so Bacon Dan will be calling in. He's got us a great tune from The Ventures. Plus, I'm going to give us a bonus tune from our own Chief Greenbud. And in Behind the Headlines, we're going to take a look at the phenomenon of politicians' evolving views on marijuana legalization with some great news out of Wisconsin. You'll hear that in our 420 radio news, as well as the president of Uruguay snapping back against the International Drug Control Board on his legalization plan. Also, talks of legalization in Staten Island, New York. Kentucky's talking about hemp, and the Denver City Council is addressing 18 to 21 year old marijuana smokers. All that coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, December 16th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Stop lying. Uruguay president chides UN official over marijuana legalization plan. From Russia Today. Uruguay's president has accused the head of the UN's International Narcotics Board, or INCB, of lying and double standards after the official claimed the country did not consult the anti-drug body before legalizing marijuana. Uruguay's president, José Mujica, rejected the criticism on Friday, saying that he's ready to discuss the law with anyone. Mujica said in an interview with Uruguay's Canal 4, quote, "Tell that old man to stop lying," end quote. He continued, quote, "Let him come to Uruguay and meet me whenever he wishes. Anybody can meet and talk with me, and whoever says he couldn't meet with me tells lies, blatant lies," end quote. The head of the narcotics board, Raymond Yans, has accused Uruguay of pirate attitudes for knowingly violating the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs, which the South American country is a part of. But Mujica reminded Yans did not say a word about the U.S. states of Colorado and Washington, which also legalized marijuana. Quote, "Does he have different rules, one for Uruguay and the other for the world's strong countries?" End quote, he asked. Madison Representative Melissa Sargent supports full marijuana legalization, from Madison.com. Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia, co-hosts of the Devil's Advocate radio show, regularly invite politicians to their studio to discuss a wide range of policy issues. But there is one question that every guest is expected to answer no matter the news of the day. Do you support legalizing the recreational use of marijuana? Quote, "I would, yes," end quote, said State Representative Melissa Sargent, Democrat of Madison. "Hallelujah," responded Crute. "We finally got a straight answer out of someone," he said. The freshman legislator from Madison's North Side explained that while she supported legislation to authorize medical cannabis, she believed that the resulting system might be one rife with loopholes. Quote, "People are going out and getting medical marijuana cards because, oh, I have this one pain that you can't prove, because they want to be using marijuana recreationally as opposed to medically," she said. "And who's to define what's recreation and what's medical?" End quote. In the end, Sargent framed cannabis legalization as consistent with legal drinking. Quote, "People can drink alcohol in our community, and I think this is very similar to that. We have to bring ourselves back and really have these conversations about where is government's responsibility in our lives." Denver Council to vote on decriminalizing pot for 18 to 21-year-olds, from the Denver Post. The Denver City Council continues to approve rules and regulations on marijuana in preparation for the January 1 rollout of the recreational pot industry, and on Monday, we'll have two more votes. The council will have a public hearing and will vote on whether to decriminalize marijuana possession for people between 18 and 21, a measure being pushed by Councilman Albus Brooks. People under 18 caught with an ounce or less of pot are never jailed and instead sent to the city and county's juvenile assessment center. People older than 21 prosecuted under the city's marijuana offenses, such as public smoking or displaying weed on the 16th Street Mall, are given small fines that begin at $150. But people between 18 and 21 caught possessing less than an ounce of marijuana can be prosecuted with up to a year in jail or face fines of up to $999. If Brooks' bill passes, people between 18 and 21 would face the same fine structure as those over 21. Also, the council will vote on another bill that would prohibit the display, consumption, or distribution or growing of marijuana on any city-owned property, including streets and sidewalks, within 1,000 feet of any public or private school. Heated debate over push to legalize pot among Staten Island politicians from StatenIslandLive.com. The buzz is growing to legalize pot for recreational use in New York State, but Staten Island lawmakers are saying don't reach for the rolling papers yet. State Senator Liz Krueger has introduced legislation to legalize marijuana for recreational marijuana use in New York, saying the state could then tax the crop and create a new source of revenue. "I strongly oppose these measures," said State Senator Andrew Lanza of Staten Island, a former city prosecutor. Quote, "We could probably make money selling heroin, too. Everything ought not be for sale, particularly the well-being of our children." End quote. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, December 16th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines on that story from Wisconsin Representative Melissa Sargent and her support of marijuana legalization, and why the politicians are behind the people on this issue. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs. Get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up.
420radio.org presents Jorge Cervantes TV, featuring Jorge Cervantes from Barcelona, Spain. The master grower has dropped the disguises and brings you the best grow tips from around the world every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, with replays Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 7 a.m., and Mondays at 3 a.m., right here at 420radio.org. Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's about 15 after, and I love that story we had in the news segment on Representative Melissa Sargent, a Democrat of Madison, Wisconsin, a state representative, who just said yes, just say yes to marijuana legalization. And this is a couple of, FM probably drive time DJs that ask every politician who comes on their show, would you support marijuana legalization? And she just says, yes, just right out, just yes. And they've had other, politicians on this show before. Senator Tammy Baldwin, for example, would come out and talk about her support of medical marijuana or decriminalization. And that's what we've seen from politicians year after year. Even the Democrats or the more progressive libertarian Republicans that would support marijuana legalization would kind of tiptoe close to it with medical or with decrim or talking about reducing penalties. But no, she comes right out and supports marijuana legalization. And I was kind of surprised as well at this being the first politician I've seen who's seen some echo of what I call that Box Canyon theory, where she says people are going to go out and get medical marijuana cards because they want to use marijuana recreationally as opposed to medically. Who's to define what's recreation and what's medical? And this idea that we should just, that the medical marijuana debate, as far as setting policy, is one that was necessary for the 90s and the 2000s. But as we move that forward in the 2010s, where legalization actually exists now, it becomes more of a policy choice. That you doesn't have to be the step from medical to legalization. We're now talking about people that are broaching the subject of just going right to legalization and bypassing medical. Understanding, of course, that legalization is the best possible medical marijuana because everyone qualifies for it. She frames it as a small government conservative, really. She says, people can drink alcohol in our community, and I think this is very similar to that. We have to bring ourselves back and really have these conversations about where is government's responsibility in our lives. And this is something where the politicians are so far behind the people. A recent poll from Marquette University found that 49.7% of adults in Wisconsin support legalization versus 44.9% who support prohibition. And the rest of them are, I don't know or don't care. Now, that's still not yet a majority. That's what we'd call a plurality. But that just means more people support legalization than support prohibition in the state of Wisconsin. And Representative Chris Taylor, he's the one in Wisconsin who's working on the Jackie Rickert medical marijuana bill that they bring up year after year after year, and they've got such a fantastic spokesperson for it, and Jackie Rickert and Gary Stork and those people that are working for this. But it never gets out of a committee. It never gets hearings. It keeps getting stonewalled here. Chris Taylor said about this, about legalization, quote, I think there are pros and cons to it, end quote. Wouldn't come out, really strongly one way or the other. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke responded to news of the poll by saying, I don't think that's where the people of Wisconsin are at, end quote. Really? I've been to the Great Midwest Harvest Fest in Madison, and there's plenty of great buds to be found. The problem here is that politicians are paying more attention to their fundraising sources than the people. A recent paper out of Vanderbilt University that trying to figure out what the politicians think of their constituents, right? I got to do things a certain way or else, the voters aren't going to like it. They found that Democrats overestimated voters' conservatism by 7 points. That is, Democrats thought that the voters were 7 percentage points more conservative on the issues, just in general, than they really were. The people were actually more liberal on the issues than the Democrats gave them credit for. And on the Republican side, this paper found that it was an overestimation of 20 points. So I don't believe that coming from these politicians, especially in a state like Wisconsin, which politically speaking, isn't that all that different than Colorado. It's a kind of what we call a purple state. You got your rural hunting, gun owning kind of farmer population that votes conservative. You got your liberal college kind of urban centers that vote more democratic, more progressive. It's very similar politically speaking. There's no reason why a legalization campaign can't begin to make some headway. But sadly, these politicians and their perceptions of what they think the voters really want translate into bad laws. This year, the Senate passed a bill that would allow cities to prosecute tokers for small personal amounts, even if the district attorney drops the charges and won't prosecute. Let's just hope that Wisconsin voters elect more sensible politicians like Melissa Sargent and that she gets reelected by a wide margin so that other politicians take notice. All right, and that sound means it's time for us to take a break. And just in time, Brian the Red has shown up here.
Funny how that happens.
Funny how that happens, right? Right around 20 after, there he is with some Mexican Cokes. Yay!
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Daily Toker Tunes. It's Monday, and that means we got Bacon Dan on the line. And Dan, I know you can't see it over the phone right now, but I've added an artist rendering of you for the show so people could see you.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just a plate of bacon.
Hey, nothing more appropriate, I will say that.
How you doing, man? This is our final show with you and me for 2013, I would suppose.
Yeah, I'm doing really good, man. It's I'm very, very happy wrapping up my first year here in Portland and my first year with the show, and it's just been hell of a good time. And then this Saturday, I got my mom flying out from the East Coast, so I get to spend my first Christmas with a little bit of family, which will be a really nice thing.
Well, that's awesome. I hope I get to meet your mom. That'll be cool.
Oh, definitely.
Right on. And not to mention, you know, your work on this show, but you're also working with the Ed Foreman Show quite a bit.
Yes, I've been kind of ramping up, helping with them. Actually, last night helped with their show at the Devil's Point Strip Club, and then the Ugly Christmas Sweater and Mustache Competition, which was also tied in with Stripperoki. So I sang karaoke on stage while I had two strippers on stage with me. It was pretty sweet.
See, folks, this is why people are flocking to Portland. We know how to have fun.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of fun, I love this song that you've picked up because, you know, I played in band as a kid. And so when Christmas came up, you played all the same ass Christmas songs every year. This was the only one of them that I enjoyed playing because the bassoon part was so cool. Tell us a little bit about this song.
All right. Well, today's song is we're going with The Ventures, who, I mean, you can't get much more West Coast than The Ventures. Surprisingly enough, actually, originally coming from the Seattle area, which I was very surprised with it being a surf sound. I mean, they've influenced countless amounts of musicians. It's just a really nice old school surf rock style, really tight in the guitars. It's just so much fun. And this is their rendition of the Christmas classic Sleigh Ride, which was also one of my favorite songs growing up in band. I was a baritone saxophone player, so I always loved, like, you know, kind of bring the Barry out and just go a little bit crazy with it. And this one, you gotta love it. It's so perfect just to be driving around and kind of get lost and maybe wonder if you've never been to the West Coast, what it'd be like driving around with this kind of music, because it does fit at times, not gonna lie.
That's right. Here we go then. This is The Ventures with Sleigh Ride. Happy hempy holidays, Dan. We'll see you later.
You too, Rock. I'll see you this Friday.
To show. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole.
What makes something funny?
How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
420radio.org presents Green Stream Radio with Grandma Cat, On One, and Tim Mee from Olympia, Washington, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific Time, with replays Thursday at 11 a.m., Fridays at 4 a.m., and Saturdays at 8 a.m., right here on 420radio.org. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, everybody, it's our last opportunity of 2013 to get a chance to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's on the line with us. Hi, Dr. Mitch.
Hello there.
I hope you're having a good day, and I hope your holidays are well.
It's a little snowy, as you might imagine.
Oh, I know. The snow's all over the country, except Florida. I was in Miami last week, and it was just gorgeous. But here in Portland, the snows have melted away, and things are turning back to their rainy, gray, dreary self. It feels just like home. Looking forward to it. All right, so we always begin this segment to give people a chance to get their questions ready in our chat room or by dialing 971-533-7111. We open up by asking Dr. Mitch, what's the latest in cannabis science?
Today, an article appeared in Health Day Reporter, basically talking about new brain scan studies suggesting that folks who've been exposed to cannabis heavily during their teen years have deviant brain structures. We've seen one study like this and another one that didn't really replicate it, and I'm actually quoted in the article as saying, you know, this is something that tends to capitalize on chance. I'm, you know, never a fan of early teen use of cannabis, and certainly don't want to see daily users do anything bad to their brains, but I feel like this kind of work tends to take a look at every single spot in the brain and then find a spot by chance that seems to be related to cannabis use and then report it, and then we don't ever see those exact same spots replicate. This time it's actually in the hippocampus, something that's related to memory, and then they say that seems to go with these memory deficits that they got in the lab. But as I've mentioned before, in my lab, we often see folks who come in and they know they're in there because of their cannabis use, and then when you actually have them read a little paragraph that says, hey, cannabis use messes up your performance on these tests, sure enough, at least the guys tend to do that simply because they've sort of got this weird expectancy, or maybe they feel like people are kind of gunning for them in these memory tests. So I don't want to overinterpret this, but as we've always said, marijuana is not for kids.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I picked out two headlines that came out of this study just today from two of my favorite news media sources, the Daily Mail in the UK and its equivalent in the United States, Fox News. We had the Daily Mail called this, "Teenagers who smoke cannabis have poor memory and abnormal brain structures." And Fox News says, "Chronic marijuana use may alter brain structure." Yet, if you look deep enough into the paragraphs, you can actually find some decent report. Like this part in the UK study, or the UK story said, Northwestern University professor Matthew Smith said the differences in brain geography could have existed before the young people used cannabis. It's possible their brain differences made them more likely to smoke pot in the first place. So maybe they're getting a little better in reporting these things, but it still seems kind of alarmist to me, don't you think?
It's funny. I'm glad to see Fox News making any progress at all. So
yeah.
I don't want to overstate the criticism. But yeah, I'm so glad that that actually reached it. And when you see other critiques of this study, of course that's there. We do need a giant sample of folks who go ahead and have their brains scanned and then follow them up years later. But you know that's going to be incredibly expensive. And waiting for those who tend to use cannabis and those who don't. In many ways, I'd like to just have our prevention efforts be so good that that's no longer an issue for teens.
How accurate are these brain scans in telling us anything, really? I mean, there's a old 90s PSA that we play that shows the, I don't know if this is a PET scan or a cat, whatever it is. It's a bunch of needles that are supposedly registering the brain activity of a normal 14-year-old, and then the following picture is their slower needles of one who smoked pot. And Brian the Red kind of jokes, God, that looks like me. I actually felt a little more calm in the after. So what do they tell us when we saw the pictures in the ecstasy scare when they would show us the brains with the holes in them and all of that. But is there any real correlation between what these brain scans show and what people's actual lives turn out to be like?
We have made a ton of progress. So the functional MRIs now, the ones that actually show what your brain is doing during a task, have improved really dramatically even in the last few years. But does this translate into real deficits in everyday life? It really is curious how cannabis users tend to develop these wonderful strategies to compensate even when they've literally just used cannabis. So a lot of times it's hard to detect some of these memory deficits in part because other areas of the brain kick in, or experienced users have these mnemonic devices they've developed over the years that help them remember things. So the brain is pretty resilient, but I got to admit, literally right after cannabis use or at least ingestion of THC, we definitely can detect changes on the fMRI, but they're often the ones that co-vary with general increases in euphoria and decreased care about memory.
All right. Well, that's interesting. All this study on the brain, and you know, the more we learn about the endocannabinoid system and how that affects it, we'll get better information here. Let's go to our chat room where we've got some questions coming up. Where Electric Bob wanted to know, can cannabis use repair damage from smoking cigarettes? I suppose he means lung damage, but any other damage it might help?
It's curious because nobody's come right out and said that, but we've seen in Tashkin's data where the folks who are simultaneously using cannabis and tobacco seem to actually be a little better off than the folks who use tobacco alone. Again, I think the best thing to do, of course, is to go ahead and lay off the tobacco. So we can't really count on the cannabinoids to regenerate lung tissue, but they do seem to essentially make sure that cells that are starting to go carcinogenic will go ahead and be sloughed off, whereas tobacco, nicotine in particular, tends to make those cells hang around, and they do end up turning into tumors at a much more rapid rate than folks who are using cannabis alone.
Okay. We have a question from Howdy Y'all who wants to know, does alcohol really kill a cannabis high?
As it turns out, at least our studies of subjective effects in the lab, no, that's not the case, and I'm not recommending this as a way to decrease your pot bill, but in fact, the subjective changes associated with cannabis tend to last longer with a little bit of alcohol, in part because it looks like alcohol slows down the metabolism of THC. The problem, of course, is mixing those two creates some rather erratic effects. You certainly don't want to drive under that combination, and unless you're accustomed to it, it's just rather strange experience.
We've got our own MediGrow Vermont is in the chat room, and he's mentioning how he has a real-time, he's saying he has a real-time brain experience for Dr. Mitch. I'm in the progress of being treated for a concussion with cannabinoids. This is Vermont, I guess, a medical state where they could do something like that. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about this recent research we're finding on the not just helping with the pain of getting a concussion, but actually helping to regenerate brain tissue after a concussion?
So this is a wild finding, and the fact that they're actually doing this in a human is a complete delight to me. But we found that particularly, crush-related, concussions where basically the brain has banged up against the skull or something like that, at least in the animal work, the presence of THC in particular, but a lot of the other cannabinoids as well, seems to work as far as preserving those cells so that the oxidation that normally would take up some of those neurons and turn into damage doesn't have the chance to create a lot of damage. Now, obviously, the sooner after the concussion, the better on these kinds of things. And in the animal literature, we're not seeing complete recovery or anything outrageously miraculous, but it's definitely as promising as anything else we have. And in truth, humans are pretty resilient, and so I'm hoping for all the best with the recovery from this concussion.
Yeah, he says, fortunately, I had cannabinoids in my system and added more when I regained consciousness after 20 minutes. So I guess 20 minutes post-event, he's, you know, adding cannabinoids in. So that's good. He says, I vaped immediately after coming to. Huh. This is very good. Well, make sure you keep in touch, MediGrow. We'll get some information on that. Maybe send an email of your experience to Dr. Mitch at the email address, which is 420research@gmail.com. It's always good information to have. We're also still taking questions here in our chat room at 420radio.org and live at 971-533-7111. But we're going to switch over to Brian, who's got a question.
Yeah, actually, Dr. Mitch, I had a question. I've been wanting to ask for a couple of months now, but I haven't had the chance because I've been out, you know, when you've been on. But I take raw cannabis capsules daily. I have for about 3 years. And after the harvest this season, I decided to start ingesting cannabis root capsules as well. We have an organic garden, and I cleaned the roots up really well and dehydrated them. Then I crushed them up, chopped them really finely, and put them into a small capsule. I was just wondering, is there any research on ingesting cannabis? Because I'm definitely feeling an effect that you know, helps with my OCD and my ADHD, and my memory improved. I started taking the capsules for 30 days in conjunction with my regular cannabis capsules starting about 2 months ago. I took them for 30 days, and then I stopped taking them and just took my regular cannabis regimen for the 30 days, and I noticed a definite difference. I'm starting again on the root capsule regimen, but I just wanted to know, is there any research out there? Because I wasn't able to find much regarding ingestion.
Wow, Brian, let me compliment you on your empirical approach to life, man. That is just superb. I guess being a little OCD has its advantages.
Well, yeah.
In truth, we haven't seen any data as far as cannabinoids being present in the roots of the plants. But I want to emphasize that any green leafy plant is bound to have interesting antioxidants and things that are generally good for you. So I'm not saying you need the spinach control group, but there's definitely an advantage to the consumption of plants for all of us, you know, anyway. I do feel like the evidence for raw cannabis is just not widely published enough, despite the really forceful and emphatic case studies that we see all over the web lately. But I got to admit, it does make sense, just given what we know about other leafy greens, spinach, lettuce, and so on, because that would just make sense.
Well, I'm still wondering more about the effects of the roots.
Unfortunately, there are no cannabinoids in the roots, at least as far as things that we've been able to tell so far. But that doesn't mean there aren't other interesting potential antioxidants in there. But I will check that literature. There hadn't been anything published on that.
Well, if anybody wants to spend a little bit.
From about 2009 or so.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I haven't found much research on roots being ingested, except for some really old data saying that they use the roots, boiling them with some milk and water and some other substance to create a salve. But they discard the roots. They said that ingesting the roots, would be toxic. But I was thinking that that could be that they just got really, really high after activating the roots, cannabinoids in the boiling process. Mm. But
well, that's the first I've heard of roots. And like I said, we'll have to keep our eye on that. Dr. Mitch joins us every Monday here, but we're taking the next couple weeks off for our Christmas break. We'll join you back again in January. Thanks, Mitch. We'll see you then.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. When we come back, the best in stupid.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Hi, I'm John Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right? So listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no winners out there doing it.
And when I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
Well, like we said, this is our Christmas week. We're heading off into our two-week break. And so this is the week we always take a look back at the previous year. And today we're going to start with the best of stupid 2013. You know, we do the stupid prohibition stories where I focus on the teachable moments from other cannabis consumers on how not to behave, how to get yourself arrested, thrown in jail. And there's a theme between these that all have to do with three simple things. Obey laws, shut the fuck up, and watch your cell phone etiquette. So let's just get right to them. The first few of these have to do with something that's called Steinborn's rule. And this is in the marijuana reform community. Jeffrey Steinborn's a member of the Normal Board of Directors and a criminal defense attorney in the Seattle, Washington area who coined this law that's called Steinborn's rule. And it's basically only break one law at a time. The implication here being is if you're going to be carrying weed, selling weed, whatever else, obey all the other laws. Don't draw attention to yourself by breaking some stupid traffic law, some stupid other law like, you know, noise violation or whatever, bringing the heat down on you when you're breaking the law with weed. So that rule would definitely have helped our first candidate here for 2013, Richard Seary of Pennsylvania. In January, a cop stopped him for speeding around about 3 p.m. He was doing 45 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. The cop smelled pot and asked Seary about it, at which time Seary refused any searches, invoked his right to remain silent, and asked for his attorney. Just kidding. Of course I'm kidding. Seary gladly turned over a half-ounce bag to the cop. Yeah, perhaps thinking that maybe that would satisfy Officer Friendly. Nope. Nope. Strange. You give cops a bag of pot, they get a little more curious, and soon you know, before you know it, a drug dog is there helping to find the 17 pounds that he had in a luggage, in a bag, in his passenger compartment.
Dumb.
Yeah. Next, cops got a search warrant for his home, and they find a secret room with another 14 pounds of weed and about $50,000 in cash. They arrest him for those 14 pounds just as he's being released on bail for the first 17 pounds stash. So, of course, he volunteers to help cops find his third stash of 36 pounds in a storage unit, his other stash of $200,000 in cash, and the house he'd set up as a grow site. And now, wait for it, it all took place in East Hempfield Township. Yeah. Now, Siri is not the only one breaking other laws while holding. This year, we also had a runner-up in Darien, Connecticut. Christopher Tucinardi got busted driving around in his 1997 Oldsmobile without registration and insurance, but with 2 ounces of weed, a bong, a grinder, a scale, and some baggies. So rather than take a big gulp of shut the fuck up, Tucinardi freely admits to the cops that he sells weed to his friends. But at least neither of those guys was really asking for it, like Kevin Bork of Eureka, California. Kevin Bork decided to tailgate a marked Humboldt County Sheriff's car on Highway 101. When the cop pulled over into the slow lane, Bork blazed on by him at 80 miles an hour in the 65 mile an hour freeway zone, highway zone. After he's pulled over, cops find a pound of weed and a sales ledger, and then get a warrant for his home where they find 497 plants and 29 pounds of bud. Folks, thousands of marijuana arrests every year would never happen if tokers simply obeyed traffic laws, and those who were arrested would be better off if they just kept their mouths shut. You got to be proactive against prohibition. That's why we do this segment here, is try to, you know, make sure you learn from the mistakes of others. Like these people, this next group of folks in our stupid 2013, who got busted because of cell phone shenanigans, let's call them. Now, these cell phones are, you know, a pretty remarkable technology. It's like part Captain Kirk's communicator and part Mr. Spock's tricorder. And you can even get a Bluetooth headset like Lieutenant Uhura, right? But to a district attorney, your cell phone is more like the captain's log, detailing every person you ever communicated with and every location you ever went. There's a good reason why the best underground growers don't keep cell phones, and they make you take the battery out of yours when visiting. And that was before we knew how much the National Security Agency was spying on our cell phones. Yet, some tokers insist on using their cell phones to make weed deals, as if they're ordering pizza from Domino's. This is bad enough if the cops suspect you're dealing. One quick call to the judge for a warrant, and your clever, "come pick up your large green shirt" code words become evidence at your trial. But a few unlucky souls have made it far worse by calling the cops directly. Take Nicholas DeLeer Jr. of New Jersey. This October, Lieutenant Eric Danielson of the Andover Police bought a new cell phone with a new cell number. At least it was new to Danielson. But apparently it was an old customer of DeLeer's, as Danielson got a text message on his new phone from DeLeer offering a quarter pound of pot for sale. Danielson sets up the deal at a local pizza parlor, and DeLeer shows up, but becomes suspicious. Cops stop his car, the canine smells weed, and Danielson matches his texts up with DeLeer's phone to make the bust. But at least DeLeer was texting a previous customer on purpose. In July, and also in New Jersey, 22-year-old Andrew McFarlane was hanging out at home, toking and joking with pals when he accidentally dialed 911 with his cell phone in his pocket. The dreaded butt dial. The operator hears McFarlane talking all about smoking weed, so they send cops out to investigate. Still on the line, they hear him say, "the cops are here," and see him through a window clearing off his table. Then McFarlane approaches the closed front door, does not open it, and ask the police if they have a warrant. Psych! No. This is a stupid story. So naturally, McFarlane opens the door wide and invites the cops to come on in and take a look. Soon enough, they find some marijuana residue on the table and eventually the weed grinder and pipe that he had tried to stash. But neither of these guys holds a candle to the bonfire of cell phone stupid that is Jeffrey Ash of Fayetteville, Arkansas. While staying in an airport motel in Boise, Idaho, Ash meets a woman he'd like to impress. Does he buy her flowers, ask her out for a drink, or engage conversation? Nope. He whips out his cell phone and shows her a picture of his penis. Because this works on women every time. Just ask Brett Favre and Anthony Weiner. The shocked woman calls the cops, and when they're interviewing Ash, they discover he's holding two duffel bags with 28.5 pounds of marijuana on them. So, you can't always know when your weed friends are going to change numbers or your butt dials 911 on you, so build good prohibition proactive habits like locking your cell phone screen and never talking or texting about weed on the cell phone. And guys, would you please stop taking selfies of your junk? Is this a... What the hell is up with that? Like, has that ever worked in the history of mankind trying to pick up a woman? I highly doubt it. But there's plenty of stupid for 2013 to go around. A few of the other stupid prohibition stories that made the news. Bernhard Goetz, you'll remember the subway vigilante from back in the day, hit on a cop who busted him for pot. That was a very interesting story. We had a lot of stories of people trying to smuggle weed into prisons. In Moldova, which is in the European republics out there, Moldova prisoners were getting weed smuggled to them by a cat. They were tying bags of weed to a cat, which is not the only example. In June, there were cats with cell phones and chargers taped to their body near penal colony number one, and that's 600 miles northeast of Moscow. A white cat was smuggling a saw and drill bits into a prison in Brazil last January. And cats have been caught with heroin, once at a prison in the Rostov region of South Russia, and as well as in 2010 at a prison in Russia's Volga Republic of Tatarstan, when a guard dog killed another cat. So the cats trying to help our prisoners, doing the best they can. Another stupid story that definitely made the headlines here was the woman, Lakita Ransom, who was a passenger in a car. This was in Dallas. She was spotted by Dallas police officers. They were already on another traffic stop when they rolled by and smelled the smell of dank so diggity that the two cops just watched the car roll by and said, "Oh my goodness, we got to go get that car." So the cop pulled the car over and asked her and the male driver, she was the passenger, to get out of the vehicle. The man got out of the vehicle, but Ransom, the female, refused and began arguing with the officers. She began rummaging through her purse, her hands out of sight. Officers were afraid she might be reaching for a weapon and tried to pull her out of the vehicle. In response, she flexed her right leg and kicked Officer Aaron Tollerton square in the testicles, causing extreme pain, according to the police report. Then she did it again. And then in a final act of defiance, she took her bag of weed and threw it at him. Now, Ransom, who lists her occupation as a babysitter, was arrested for assaulting a public servant and marijuana possession. So we have so much to choose from, but I think maybe the stupidest story of the year goes to the marijuana grower in New York who set a booby trap. This was back in, I believe, August or September, who set a wire booby trap around his grow. And then one day he got on his quad bike. He was drunk and drove his quad bike right through the wire, nearly decapitating himself, killing himself, of course, but nearly took his head clean off. Hikers spotted his lifeless corpse and called the cops. They also found a barbed wire and a leg trap surrounding four large pot plants. This guy had set all this up to protect four pot plants, gets himself damn near decapitated. That's our stupid story for 2013, for sure. Well, folks, that's all the time we got here for Hour 1, but stay tuned for Hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio, where you're the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Our phone lines are open at 971-533-7111. Got a great op-ed from former Congressman Barney Frank, a look at pot on television, and some awful, awful parents. Or were they really that awful? We'll discuss that, too. More coming up on Toker Talk Radio. And then later tonight, 8 p.m., we've got the new Viper Hour. It's Christmas night on the Viper Hour. Check that out. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.